Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the third and final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Riding solo, BT is chilling today. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 503 Eastern, 203 Pacific. Michael Lee is coming up in just a second. There's lots to hit that we've hit today already, including some baseball talk, the Robert Kraft issue, which we're going to get back to in our next segment. I know we had some callers that hung on. You've heard the news already. Robert Kraft caught up in a sting about sex traffic workers down in Jupiter, Florida. He has not been charged with this, anything involving those workers, just for soliciting a sexual act and paying for it. We'll see how the NFL ultimately decides to come down upon him. I think he should preemptively get out in front of it so that the NFL has an easier decision to make and it goes away a lot quicker. But there was a lot of NBA last night, a lot of interesting storylines that are developing post-All-Star break. And to help us break them down, we have Michael Lee, who is the NBA writer for The Athletic. He joins us now on Tiki and Tierney. Michael, good afternoon. Appreciate you joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's good to have you. Look, one of the big issues that people are starting to have, and my co-host had this big one with LeBron James yesterday, is the fact that he seemingly is always talking about himself, including instead of his team, and that he has this switch that he can turn on and make the Lakers a winner all of a sudden. We've also heard him say, "I love a challenge." So he's embracing the drama that surrounds him. Are we shifting our perception of the great one right now?
In what sense? In that, I'm trying to understand.
I think we used to champion him. We used to say, "Hell, LeBron is doing something amazing, right?" He went to Cleveland. He turned the team around. Like we felt good about what he was doing. Now it feels like he's gotten cocky because he knows he can do all those things. And while there seems to be some dysfunction around the trade deadline, it's kind of subsided. Oh, yeah. And now he's saying, you know, I got to bring these guys. It's just weird. Like it's changed a little bit. If you know what I mean.
It has mainly because he joined one of the glamour franchises in all of sports.
Yeah.
And the expectations aren't what they have been in other places. He could go to Cleveland and win a championship and be champion as a hero and the guy who brought this moribund community, you know, glory and allowed them to experience, you know, the wonder of LeBron. You get to witness it. But if you're going to the Lakers, you're going to a franchise that's used to winning championships. You're going to a franchise that already had Kareem and Magic and Kobe and Shaq. And so you got all these guys, and you're a part of that legacy now. And the legacy for the Lakers is not just made it to the playoffs. It's not just, you know, bringing a team, you know, out from the lottery. It's about winning championships. So for fans there, they're going to judge him differently. You know, he's not of the Laker family. He's an outsider coming in, and everyone's going to be looking at him from a different perspective than they did before. He's not the hero anymore. He's not rescuing the Lakers. This is the Lakers.
Yeah.
They don't need rescuing. They just need someone who can continue it, what's been built.
Yes.
And I think that now people view him as somebody who has to come in there and get it done the way Kobe did, the way Shaq did. And it's just tough because he's 34 years old. He's got a bunch of young guys around him who've never been through this. So I think that in a lot of ways he can't control things the way he did, say, in Cleveland when everyone was just so happy that he was a part of the organization. It's just a different animal now with the Lakers.
Yeah, no. Do you think that they ever turn on him? Do you think that they start feeling, man, this was a mistake to bring LeBron here? Meaning the fans, not the team, but the fans.
Oh, fans are already giving him a hard time.
Wow.
I mean, and you already have the situation where you have LeBron fans and you have Laker fans, and then you got Kobe fans who will just never give it up to LeBron no matter what he does. And that's one of the things that he's up against, too. I thought it was an interesting thing when he signed there, because you sort of created this these divisions and the dynamics within the Laker fan base where, you know, it's like some fans are sort of reluctant to accept them. Some fans are just like, no, You even saw when they painted up all these billboards and things throughout the city, calling him the king, and people, you know, spray painted them and they did all these things. So he's got to come there and he's got to win over a lot of people who, you know, have a high standard. And obviously LeBron's one of the greatest to ever play.
Yeah.
But for Laker fans, like, if you haven't done it for us, it doesn't count.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Michael Lee, NBA writer for The Athletic, joins us. The Houston Rockets were visiting the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday. They had a 19-point lead at one point in this game. And it just felt like, oh, it's going to be another runaway. James Harden's going to get his requisite 30, which he did, but it was in a loss. But the bigger issue with James and really Chris Paul is they both fouled out of this game, and they had an issue with the refereeing and the fact that they felt like they couldn't talk to the ref, and it was like they were expecting this collegial-type relationship to exist with the referee, and it wasn't that way. They both got their 6 fouls and were out of the game and couldn't help the team come back, not that they were. But is there a problem in the league with refereeing and the players? I feel like it's more the players thinking they deserve audience with refs, even though they don't, right?
No, they don't. And but I think there is a thing where you sort of build that relationship. You know, a lot of players go through the process of learning all the referees' names, and so they can have a conversation with them so they can get the benefit of the doubt in certain situations. And Scott Foster just clearly is not playing that game with the Rockets. And I think that's sort of what happened, you know, last night. And to see James foul out is so unusual because he's usually the guy that coerces all the Lakers to foul out. You know, you saw from earlier this year where the Lakers were like, they had their hands actually behind their backs, you know, when they were guarding James Harden because they didn't want to fall for all those swipe throughs and all the tricks that he does to draw fouls. And I think it was just sort of I think it's just more of a frustration thing. It's easy to lean on the refs whenever you lose a game like that. But to me, I thought their main issue was they just weren't hitting shots, you know. And if you're on the road, you can't expect the refs to bail you out in those situations. And no matter what the free throws say, and I think it was very one-sided, especially in the second half, the Lakers shot an overwhelming number of free throws than the Rockets in the fourth quarter. But it doesn't matter because you're not going to get those calls in a home arena. You got to go out there and take it on the road.
Yeah.
It's not going to be given to you. So for veteran guys, MVP caliber guys, future Hall of Famer guys to start whining about officiating, I guess it's just part of just what you do when you're in the NBA. But they know. They know that they didn't play the way you need to play to win the game, and you're definitely not going to get bailed out in those situations. So they're going to get heavy fines. And I hope it was worth it.
No, if there was going to be worth it, they should have been yelling and screaming. They were like passive, like, yeah, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. I mean, that's not worth it because nobody's going to listen heavy to you. You got to scream if you want people to pay attention. But akin to that, Michael, we saw this Tim Donaghy story that came out a couple days ago, the NBA trying to put out the fire, so to speak. Obviously, this happened years ago, 12 or so years ago. But he talked about fixing the games and things of that nature. Do we need to worry about that any longer?
Well, I think that's one of the concerns that is sort of being ignored with all the embrace of gambling now. It's like everyone is acting like it's not an issue to have money involved, to have fans gambling on games. And I was like, well, there's a reason why the gambling was not permitted. Like, it was for situations like this where players or officials or anyone would be involved with fixing a game. And they're like, well, you know, everybody's compensated well now, so there's no incentive. There's always incentive to make more money.
Yeah.
And if you can do things to help, you know, line your pocket, some people will do it. So there's always, you know, things that happen when money is involved and when there's a possibility that you can do something to sort of, you know, fix the game a little bit. I think it's something that people should be concerned with, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the aspects of the whole sports gaming or gambling situation that sort of, as it's progressed, people become more open and welcome to it. There is a dark side to it, and people need to, you know, stop being ignorant to it.
So is it dangerous for Commissioner Silver to truly – he champions this, right? He's been doing
Absolutely.
It for a while. Is that dangerous?
I mean, I guess if you feel like people are going to engage in that anyway,
then
if people want to gamble, then just at least give them a legal way to go about doing it. Same way, I guess, with marijuana, you know, it's like people are going to use it anyway. And just go ahead and make it legal and just let them live their lives. Maybe you'll sort of take away some of the criminal elements of it.
Yeah.
And I think I can understand the arguments from both sides, but I also understand that anytime you bring in possible elements of corruption into your business, then it's going to be exploited.
Yeah, no, you're right. Michael Lee joining us, NBA writer for the Atlantic, for the Athletic. You bring up something interesting with marijuana. I got to do this because the NFL is very punitive with marijuana. I know guys in the NBA smoke. How come they never get caught?
Of course.
You know what I mean? How come they're never put on blast and blown up like these NFL guys are?
Well, because I think they know that it's a recreational drug, and I think that they're more progressive in the sense that they understand that it's not necessarily going to, you know, as long as it's not impacting the game,
yeah,
then, you know, you don't need to necessarily police it to the extreme. I mean, they do not want guys to be abusive of any type of drugs, but I think that there's sort of a wink and a nod thing when it comes to marijuana especially. And I never understood the NFL because, you know, would you rather a guy be high or drunk?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you medicate yourself through alcohol, that's legal. I honestly feel like that's more damaging to you than marijuana. But we can go into that discussion probably for a little longer about something deeper. But I honestly feel like the NBA, is the reason why it's sort of perceived as being more progressive than the other leagues is because they sort of come down, they drop the hammer on more drugs of abuse,
yeah.
You know, the cocaine or anything like that. You'll get suspended for that. And unless you're just a guy who can't control your weed addiction at all and you're high all the time, you know, you don't have to worry about getting suspended from using it.
Yeah, which is, I think, how it should be. It is, honestly, just having experienced it and been around the, you know, both sports for a while, it's self-medication. These guys aren't, I mean, some of them are trying to get high, but a lot of it is, I need to calm down.
Yeah.
Instead of picking up a bottle of vodka, I'll smoke a joint and I'll be chill for a little bit. I you're right. It's a completely different conversation. But let's move on to something that took a lot of our mind share and radio waves and print news right before the All-Star break. The Anthony Davis demanding of a trade. And we're not going to focus on Anthony Davis in specific, but we've seen this, right? Paul George did this.
Yeah.
Some other guys have done this. The NBA has empowered its players to the point where they can dictate terms. And while it's good for the players because they ultimately want to win a championship, this is so bad for fan bases. Think about the Pelicans, right? They thought that they had a team. And even last year when they were overachieving, they swept through the first round and ultimately they came up against the unbeatable Warriors. But whatever, it felt like they were moving right in the right direction. Now all of a sudden, it's all right, here we go, back to the bottom of the heap. I mean, the NBA, can they do anything about this at this point?
I think they've tried a number of things, and it's all backfired. You can go back to LeBron's decision and how, you know, they created a more punitive luxury tax. And basically what they did was they wound up hurting Oklahoma City in the process. They hurt a small market team that was doing things the right way.
That's a good point.
Because they were like, well, we don't want to pay a luxury tax for James Harden, so we'll trade him.
Yeah.
And then they traded James Harden. And then 3 years later, Kevin Durant's like, yo, I wish we had James Harden. since we don't, I'm out. And now you're like, oh, wait, Kevin Durant just left to go to Golden State. Well, how do we keep our stars? Let's give them more money. Okay, so you add the Supermax, and then all of a sudden teams are like, yo, I don't want to pay DeMarcus Cousins the Supermax. I'm trading him as soon as I get the first chance. I don't pay Jimmy Butler. I'm trading him the first chance I get. So it's really everything you try to do in terms of trying to keep guys in one place, it's going to wind up hurting you in the end. What you have to do is just accept the fact that you can't bribe guys in the stands. You can't create a rule that's going to make guys stay somewhere. You know, everybody's motivated by different things. Some guys are motivated by rings. Some guys are motivated by money.
Yeah.
Some guys are motivated by shine and fame and celebrity. So that's just going to be the nature of the business. What you want to do is maybe provide incentive for organizations who put together competent front offices and coaching staffs that, you know, actually give players an environment where they feel empowered and that they want to stick around and stay.
Yeah,
I think that's what really needs to be done. Like, maybe do something that helps the front offices be better at their job, so that players don't want to always look over their shoulder about what's better.
Yeah,
I think that's really what's happening. A lot of times these guys leave is because the team is plateaued and they feel like the team is going in another direction that they just don't want to be a part of, and that's just the nature of the business. You know, it's kind of disappointing as fans because we get so used to having guys with one team or one organization, and you're going to have the situation now where guys leave, and like, to me, I think it's really weird that a guy like Ray Allen, who's a Hall of Famer, who's won a championship, he played great in Milwaukee, played great in Seattle, played great in Miami, played great in Boston, he will never have his jersey retired anywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
He's going to leave the game not having his jersey retired anywhere.
Yeah.
So when you have all this player movement, you just don't have that connection with fans that, you know, that's long lasting.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
So that's one thing that we sort of are going to lose with this. And maybe some players will understand that just having that deeper connection, that deeper bond with the fan base, that goes a long way because you feel like you have a home in this game.
Yeah.
And that's why I think people were so disturbed when DeMar DeRozan got traded. And I think his comeback to Toronto tonight is going to be so incredible because the fans didn't ask him to go anywhere. He got traded, and I think he's going to probably experience more love than he ever did when he played there.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And how you laid that out and the process of how it came to where it is right now is so clear. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. Teams often get stuck doing things that they don't necessarily want to or need to do. Michael Lee, I appreciate you hopping on with us for a little bit and giving us some details. Have a good weekend and hopefully chat with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Be good, Michael. Michael Lee, NBA writer for The Athletic. He makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot that that we forget has transpired that has made the situation with player movement and empowerment the way it is now. It is that way because it kind of got forced in that way. On the other side of this break, we'll get back to Robert Kraft and what we think is going to happen. And according to our poll, which Samter put up, 3 hours ago, or 2.5 hours ago on Tiki and Tierney, what should the NFL do? A significant portion of you still think he should be forced to sell the team. More Tiki and Tierney on this side, CBS Sports Radio. The right hire can really make an impact on your business. You can post a job on a job board and hope that you'll find the right person for that job. But think about this. How often do you yourself check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most of them, like you, are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insight from the behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to a new opportunity like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people all of the time. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki to get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki, T-I-K-I, to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on Tiki and Tierney. A couple segments left before we head off into the weekend. I'm actually heading down to the theater, over to the theater. I guess it's up to the theater because we're downtown right now. I have 24 people coming to the show tonight. This is like an epic Friday. I think there's a ton of, I was going to say going to be half, but it's going to feel like half of the audience is coming backstage after the show. All of our friends from Gymboree in New Jersey. We've become good friends over the years. I mean, we met like 4 years ago. We've become good friends.
Anybody
over
cool
years.
Like Anthony Lynn? Like, I mean, Gymboree's nice, but like
Anthony Lynn was cool. That,
I mean,
was
maybe
great.
Pat Shermer or Saquon or something.
Let me see. Tom and Lindsay. Yeah, I mean, there's some cool guys. Whitney, Jason. Yes, Whitney's dad played in the NHL, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, so like the whole crew, it's all the Gymboree crew. It's not like there's like multiple different facets from all over your life.
No, this is...
Oh, it's all Gymboree.
Awesome.
You should bring up the Gymboree instructor and just have you guys just in the middle of the stage.
Yes.
In kinky boots doing Duck Duck Goose.
I don't even remember who that instructor was, to be honest with you. It was 4 years ago. But Samter, you'll go through this because I went through this in my first marriage and I'm going through it now. You make your longest friends based on your kids. It just is what it is. That's who you see, you hang out with. In fact, the guy, remember I talked about karaoke? And the guy who got me into karaoke, I met because our kids went to a little maestro's class together. Jeff Blythe. I didn't know he was a UVA grad, but he was also a UVA grad. So that kind of solidified our relationship. So it was kind of awesome. Gymboree, little maestros.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought that would have gotten me... onto Broadway, onto the stage. I am an actor now. And you know who's not an actor and may have to do some acting is Robert Kraft, as he tries to squirm, wiggle, deny his way out of the allegations that were presented against him today. To reset the story, and I'm sure you've heard it all day long, Robert Kraft was caught up in a sting. The sting was for a sex trafficking ring operating out of strip mall massage parlors down in Florida, in particular Jupiter, Florida. He was taken there by his driver, at least that's the story, and he is on video, was caught on video receiving whatever, sex, whatever. I don't even know how to even position it. 77-year-old man on video.
Now, just for the record, I don't know if specifically the sex acts were caught on video. I know that he was caught on video in the parlor, and I think his defense is he was there to get legit. So I think they have a video of him going in.
Yes.
I don't know if they have video of him doing these things.
I mean, they kind of said that they did. Now, there's a couple of layers here. He has been charged, not arrested. His lawyers will be presented with papers. He'll be his responsibility to turn himself in to the authorities down in Florida. But the police, when they had their press conference about 5 hours ago, 4 or 5 hours ago, said that there is video. Now, we don't know what that video is. Who knows? We don't want to speculate. But Diesel and I were talking about this off air. Well, did they have him getting the sex act performed? Did they have him also presenting money? I think all there's ways out for Robert Kraft. The question that we've been asking is, what will the NFL ultimately do? We know that they come down hard on conduct detrimental to the league. Anything that embarrasses the shield, from the Ray Rice situation, Greg Hardy, even Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, who faced a 6-month suspension along with $500,000 fine and restrictions on his social media use, which is the oddest part of that suspension or discipline that there is. What will they do to Robert Kraft? Especially considering that Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots have been bad actors, we'll use that in quotes, bad actors over the years with Spygate and Deflategate. And now what, I won't use the word that the gate that, that Samter positioned it as, but it, imagine an appendage, if you're watching us on TV, gate that was going on down in Florida. But what should they do? We took some calls early. We'll take a couple calls here now. 855-212-4227. I know Nina's been hanging on for a while. She's out in Oakland. Nina, what say you to Robert Kraft?
I say that, you know, it's just a big thing as a sex store owner. I think the people...
Wait, hold on. Nina. You're a sex store owner?
Yes. Yeah, I own a sex shop in Oakland called Fillmore.
So what do you... Like, you sell what? Like...
Yeah, I sell sex toys, vibrators.
Oh, okay.
All right, good. Should have just got a masturbation sleeve and just called it a day. But he didn't do that.
Okay, so what do you think should happen with him in the NFL?
I think he should definitely be able to keep his business, but I also think that it's about setting a standard for his team. And I know that the NFL, when they come through with the Super Bowl, they always come through and do sex trafficking education for all of the cities.
That's right.
Because it's huge. And so I think as an owner at that particular level with that type of excellence, it should have never been off of his radar.
Yeah.
This is something that he should have known. One of the great things is he's not married, so we're not even worried about the financial loss about marriage.
Yeah.
But he has a family. He has kids. But they can also assume ownership of the team.
Yeah.
So it's not a really big hit to him. I think that he should also start to be involved in the sex education and sex trafficking that goes on in the industry.
Yeah, like awareness. He means awareness and getting rid of the negativity. That's a great call, Nina, and great perspective. I was worried a little bit when she was a sex shop owner, but they're around. They exist. You've been to one. I've been to one. Trust me, you've been there, especially if you want to keep your wife happy. You certainly have been there. Here's the thing. What she was talking about is exactly right. Robert Kraft should know better. He's been to too many Super Bowls to have not been briefed on this. I remember in 2000 when we, the Giants, went to the Super Bowl in Tampa. And Tampa's notorious for these spots, right? We got, I think it was a retired FBI and our team security, all sat in a meeting and they grilled us on this. Like, they grilled us. It was like, there's no touching anymore in Tampa. You can't go on these spots. You got to be 10 feet away. You're going to get arrested. You're going to ruin your career. You get suspended. All right, so this is presented over and over and over and over and over again. Robert Kraft should have known better for sure. Let's get Ernesto real quick out in New Mexico on Robert Kraft. What do you think, Ernesto?
Well, you know, he's worth 4 point whatever billion with a B.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have shut down that whole strip mall, much less the, you know, the spa.
Yeah, I agree.
And had everybody come to his, million-dollar
penthouse or wherever he's staying down in Florida.
Closed doors, no cameras.
Yeah.
And imagine if it was Tiger or Bubba Watson, the PGA standards.
Yeah.
Imagine Mark Cuban being on film for this crap. Jerry Jones, man, the NFL has to do something. You know, if they invented a picture or a bust or an image of the owner on the shield of the NFL, it would be Robert Kraft. And you know, he was stupid.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Thank you, Ernesto. I think the biggest thing, and that's, I mean, I said it earlier, and I agree with you. This was just stupid. It was mindless and something that he obviously is going to regret. The problem is that it just happened twice. As we had Amy Dash on earlier in the show, this is two misdemeanor counts that were put presented to Robert Kraft, which in a way forces him to negotiate with the prosecutors here. If it was one misdemeanor, they put him in a diversion program. As Amy detailed, he'd pay a fine. Maybe he'd get 60 days, but that's going to be obviously suspended. He'd do hours of community service. But with two, it ups that discipline to over a year. My position on this, and look, I've met Robert Kraft over the years. I like Robert Kraft. I think he's an unbelievable owner. He's had great success. He does so much philanthropically, not just locally and in the States, but internationally, and is extraordinarily well respected. He needs to get out in front of this as quickly as possible, whether it's throwing a ton of money towards sex traffic awareness or whatever it may be. He and the NFL need to do something to make this go away as quickly as possible. I don't think he was doing anything related to the sex trafficking part of this, but this is a bad look. It's an embarrassment. It's a black eye. The good thing about black eyes is that they usually heal. You're never going to believe what former Warriors head coach Don Nelson has been doing since he retired. We'll get to that in the blast next. But first, Jay Berman with the update. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Jack in Florida. The Kings and Warriors had yet another close game, their fourth of this season. All four of the games have been decided by an average of 3 points. Are the Kings for real? Look, we heard Buddy Hield talking 2 days ago about how he was guaranteeing they were going to make the playoffs. They're currently in the ninth seed, so they're a couple games out. And they said he was going to bet his house if they didn't make the playoffs. Are the Kings for real? They are coming. I'm not going to say they're for real yet. I don't think they're a contender, but they are coming. And when you look at their roster, from Harrison Barnes, who they traded for at the trade deadline, to Willie Cauley-Stein, who hasn't really turned into the star that we thought he would be, but he is a solid player. De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and then coming off the bench, Marvin Bagley III, who had 28 last night against the Golden State Warriors. The Kings are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And when you listen to the Golden State Warriors talk about the Kings last night after the game, their collective thought was, this team is going to be a rival for many years to come. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Last segment here on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. I'll be heading up to Broadway. My posse's on Broadway. I can say that. I have my posse coming to Broadway tonight. There's so many people. I think the crew At the Al Hirschfeld Theater, going to be like, I don't think we can have 26 people back here tonight, but I'll find a way. Dustin Johnson's leading at the World Golf Classic out in Mexico. Matt Kuchar, who had his caddy issues a couple of weeks ago, is pulling in second right now through 13 at 10 under. And Tiger Woods was hanging around, still at 5 under par through 17. Hasn't had a stellar day, but a really good day. 5 under for the day. We'll see how Tiger performs through the weekend. Samter, are you ready to help me out with another segment? I know you like to get all like professional and add to your tape. You did excellently. I won't say excellently. You did moderately good on inbounds and out of bounds.
I'd give myself a B plus.
And it's moderately good. B plus is moderately good.
You got a high standard. Just because you're in the academic hall of fame, then you know. Doesn't mean that you should hold me to a higher standard than most. But B-plus is pretty damn good.
You know what's interesting? We had this conversation because and where were we just at? Houston? No, where were we just at?
Atlanta. Dude, it was like a week ago.
I got a lot on my mind, dude. AJ just had surgery, just had doing Broadway, so there's a lot going on. But we were down in Atlanta, and the College Football Hall of Fame is down there. And Tampa was asking me, why aren't you in the College Football Hall of Fame? I'm like, I don't know, right? I'm in the College Football Academic Hall of Fame, but not in the College Football Hall of Fame. And I think the answer is I never was an All-American, a first-team All-American. And if you're not a first-team All-American, so like Joe Marino, who was not a first-team All-American, can never be in the College Football Hall of Fame. So I don't think I can make the College Football Hall of Fame, which is crazy. It's nuts. It's crazy.
I mean, it's an interesting rule, and I guess it makes sense. I know that you made All-Americans, but I guess it must have been second team or third team.
Yeah, or different accreditations. There's different, you know.
Yeah, if it's not, maybe it has to be the AP All-American.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll be in the Academic All-American Hall of Fame. That one's better anyways. But can we do the blast after, please?
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Your new quarterback, I mean, potentially your new quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, reportedly is going to throw at the combine. A lot of quarterbacks choose not to. Do you think he should or hold off for his pro day?
No, I think he should throw at the combine. Like, so many people make this big deal about the combine. The combine. You're going to stand up there in your underwear. They're going to measure you from, you know, tip of your hair to the last inch of your toe and get all these measurables and make predictions based on how many bench press reps you can do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just another part of the process. I know it's important because I get to see everybody together against one another. More importantly, and I think this is the most important part of the combine, is you get a chance to sit down with all of these GMs and owners and coaches, and it's pressure filled, right? It's intense. It's taxing. It's really hard on their minds and their bodies, and that's good because you get to see how a kid reacts to that type of stress. So, but it's not the make or break. You know, part of the off season for these guys. He'll get a chance at his pro day to throw as well. So even if he throws poorly at the combine, he'll still have the chance to make it up. So yes, he should throw at the combine.
It just feels like quarterbacks are set up for failure at the combine. You're running around, you're doing all these different tests, you're doing workouts and lifting weights, and you're throwing to receivers you've never seen before or never worked with.
Yeah,
and you're just getting kind of thrown in like cattle. So it just kind of feels like these quarterbacks are set up to fail.
But the guys that do really well prove that any situation they can thrive in. And that's why you look at a guy like Sam Darnold, who did really well at the combine. It wasn't a full indicator, but it was somewhat of an indicator of how his season was going to go. And we saw that. Baker Mayfield was absolutely no different.
So former Warriors head coach Don Nelson is now kind of being referred to as Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
After he showed up with a ponytail, a long beard, and he said this about his post-retirement.
Can each of you talk briefly about what you've been doing after basketball? Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right?
Hawaii. Yeah, I've been smoking some pot, actually.
It's legal now.
Yeah. But I never smoked when I played or coached, so it's new to me. But anyway, I'm doing that, and I'm having a pretty good time. It's more legal now than it's ever been, and so I'm enjoying that.
So if you didn't hear what he was saying, because Tiki was talking about Hawaii, he said he's been smoking a lot of pot.
How old is Don Nelson? He's 78 years old, man. He lives in Hawaii. Let that man be him, right? Let's not judge Don Nelson. 67 or 68% of Americans are more in favor of legalizing marijuana, whether it be medicinal or recreational in this country. The tide is turning. It will be. And Cory Booker, who just declared for he's going to run for president, even mentioned this. It will be a running point in the 2020 election, legalizing, or I should say descheduling, cannabis from a Schedule I drug. This is going to happen sooner rather than later, and it'll be a good thing when it does, because leagues like the NBA and the NFL, who have killed careers because of marijuana, can now come into the fold with how most of America is thinking about this. There are 33 states that are now medicinally legal, and then 9, I believe, that are recreational legal. Good for Don Nelson. Say it like it is.
It's the ponytail that really threw me off.
I know. You don't even recognize him.
Yeah, I just remember him standing up and down. He was always wearing a suit. He had, like, the turtleneck. Anyway, we talked about this earlier a little bit with Tom Verducci. But not only did Kershaw take time away after, quote, not feeling right during his mound session on Monday, but now Dave Roberts is saying that they're going to shut him down indefinitely.
Yeah.
How concerned should you be if you're the Dodgers?
Very concerned. Look, I've always liked Clayton Kershaw's delivery because of how quirky it is. You think if you're a hitter and you're standing up there and you see this guy who kind of like crunches up and then stands up and then comes over top and it's got this weird delivery and he's long and he's tall, so the ball's getting to you coming from behind him. It's awesome to watch, and that's why he's had such success. But it is a taxing delivery on his body. And now that he's been in the league for some years, he's 30 years old, his body's probably starting to reject all of that movement. It's not a simple delivery. It's not a simple movement. So if I'm a Dodgers fan, in the Dodgers organization, I'm very concerned about Clayton Kershaw. He is one of the great pitchers of our era, but injuries are starting to catch up to him, and they're consistently about the same type of things. Last year it was his back. Now it's his arm. All these things are connected, right? Hip bone's connected to your backbone, et cetera, et cetera. I would be very concerned.
So this was interesting. Obviously, the tragic death of a Syracuse community member after Jim Boeheim hit him with his car. And there's questions whether or not he would coach tomorrow against Duke. And Syracuse came out and made this statement. While this is a very difficult time, I know that Coach Boeheim's players gained strength from him, just as he gained strength from his players, and our community gained strength from each other. With this in mind, we will let Coach the game on Saturday.
Yeah, this is a mistake.
Do you think that he should skip the game?
He should skip the game. This is a mistake. This is too soon. Look, I understand that this was an accident. Coach Boeheim was not drinking. There was no recklessness. There was nothing that would indicate that this was a criminal act in any way. So it's not about that. But this feels very soon to just be going about your business. In a game that means a lot, obviously, because they're playing Duke, but it feels too soon. Just out of respect of what happened, not only to this pedestrian that was killed, but to him. I mean, it's on your conscience that you took someone else's life. And so not only is it going to be on his mind, it may affect how he coaches. This is too soon. I think this is a mistake. That's just my guess.
So the cameras caught Bryson DeChambeau slamming his putter into a putting green after he slammed his wedge into the sand.
Come on, Bryce.
A couple weeks ago, we all remember Sergio Garcia was ripped for having a tantrum in a bunker in which our guy Brooks Koepka ripped him and called him out, said this is unacceptable. We're starting to see a lot of these players kind of act up on the course in a quote-unquote gentleman's game. Does the PGA need to step in?
No, I don't think they need to step in, but I think we need to understand that the PGA is less of the gentleman's game than it used to be. You're starting to see the expressions of personalities, whether it's Ricky Fowler and his attire, or even Sergi, or even a Tiger, with how his emotion that he showed on the course, and it's only grown over the years. I don't think they need to cut down on tantrums, but I do think they need to cut down on actions that are damaging to the course, right? Especially into a putting green. I didn't see this. I just heard about it. But you can't slam your putter into the putting green. You create a divot. Something that's going to affect something later on, even if you don't think it will be. Cut down on the damage to the sport, but don't cut down on the expression of emotion. That's what makes sport, sport.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I know, Samter. I can see the clock. I know we have a minute left. What do you think, I'm blind? I know, you're just doing your job.
I'm just trying to help. I know you're on stage wearing red high heels all day. I don't know if your eyes are working.
8 minutes, dude. 8 minutes. 8 minutes I wear my high heels. That's all. 8 minutes. Not all day. 8 minutes.
That's a lot of time in high heels.
It is a long time.
That's more than I've done in my life, I think.
I know. I'm excited. A lot of people coming tonight. Marlo is coming tomorrow. Marlo is, so I'm looking forward to entertaining our producer on the TV side tomorrow. That'll be fun. She's bringing her man, Jeff. We'll see you guys tomorrow. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Lots of sports, lots of great basketball, both college and the NBA. Virginia's got to take out Louisville. I'll be back on Monday. BT will as well. Have a fantastic weekend. Peace. We're out.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.